Revelation chapter number 2, starting verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Once again, Lord, thank you for the song service and just the way it ministers to our heart. Thank you for the special music, Lord. And I pray, the Lord, that you is honored in that, and I pray that you'd be honored in my words tonight. Lord, just use these lips and just only say what I should say, Lord. Just help me focus on my thoughts and what I believe you'd have me to talk about tonight, Lord. And I pray that you would just help us to be able to glean something out of this tonight. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and go to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Our theme this year is revival through remembrance. I'm going to kind of talk about that tonight just a little bit. I guess the Chad Gordon perspective of this. That's why Brother Tommy said you never know what's under the pulpit. So this could be interesting. But Deuteronomy chapter number 8. You know, our verse is stirred to action by way of remembrance, 2 Peter 3:1. I want to talk about remembering things tonight and how that does stir us to action. But in Deuteronomy chapter number 8, we're going to read most of this chapter. That's why I just went ahead and have you seated for this. But if I want you to listen to this and listen to what Moses is saying here, okay? In verse number 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live. Okay, so he's telling them, I've given you some commandments. You need to do these things that you may live. Okay? It's not to hurt you. It's so you can live. The next thing is, and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not. So we've had an admonition to remember, and here is a warning to forget not. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt, here it is again, remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. I don't know really how I could comment on this passage any better than what, you know, if you read this with any understanding at all, basically Moses went through and said, you remember what all what God did for you, and you, if you obey his commandments, he's going to bring you into this land. And it started here in verse number 7, I believe. A good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. And it goes on and it tells about this great land and all the blessings that God wants to give us. Well, folks, I believe that God still wants to bless our church. And I believe that, you know, our pastor picked this theme, and it wasn't, you know, he doesn't just, you know, sitting at his desk one day and, oh, that's, you know, I think there's some prayer that goes into it. I think the Lord kind of tells him, you know, speaks to his heart and says, you know, let's have this theme, revival through remembrance. And I believe that Moses is telling these people, hey, you need to remember what God's done for you, because if you don't remember what God's done for you, then when all this stuff starts to happen and you start becoming wealthy and you start building good houses and your crops start doing good and your animals start doing well and producing well, and then you're going to say, as it does down in verse number 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. You know, folks, I think God wants us to remember what he has done. You know, I don't think we ought to live in the past necessarily, because the past is the past. You know, we need to go forward and do more than what they did in the past. But we can go back to the past and see what God has done in the past to encourage us. Hey, God hasn't gotten any older. You know, he's not in the nursing home right now. You know, in the past 40 years, he didn't, you know, get some disease and he's not able to get around. You know, God's the same God 40 years ago as he is today. You know, I think about, you know, financially, you know, we're looking at buying another piece of property. Now, you know, I look at that sometimes and I think, man, how are we going to do that? You know, you look at the budget and you look at, you know, the families in the church and, you know, everybody's going to have to sacrifice and you think, man, how are we going to do that? But then what I want to talk about is if you remember, well, how many years ago, remember, you know, a $300,000 building out there? I mean, that's $10,000. You know, that's a lot of money. I mean, I'd like $10,000. But $10,000 compared to $300,000, it's pretty doable when you put it in that light. Revelation, and you said, Roach, what in the world did Revelation have to do with this? Or let's go back to Revelation chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 4. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Okay, so this kind of ties back in. I want you to go with me. This ties back in, you know, our first love, the men in the church, Pastor Robert Ross and the other men that are sitting in this room, they had that first love. And we have to be careful that we don't leave that first love, because, man, we've got a nice building here, we've got some property here, the Lord's blessing us, you know, we're being able to pay our bills. Well, are we leaving that first love? And I want look at verse number 5, and I'm going to give you a formula tonight. And then I'm going to talk about three different things. This formula will apply to all three of these things. And I want to spend most of the time on the last thing. I want to help the young people. I want to help all of us. It helps me, myself. So hopefully it'll be a blessing to all of us. But I want to give you a little formula out of verse number 5. And this isn't original to me. So, you know, most things I say aren't original to me. So you don't have to worry about that. But I had a college. I took this class Daniel Revelation class in college, and he was one of those genuine teachers. I mean, there are some guys that, you know, they did it because they got paid. And I'm not saying that God didn't call them to do it, but there are some guys that did it because they got paid, and, you know, that was their job, and, you know, they did a good job. But then there were some that lived it, and this was the guy that taught this. He really did live it. But anyway, verse number 5, it says, remember, therefore. Okay? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. So the first part of my formula is remember. Okay? These all got R's. Once again, it's alliterated, so obviously it didn't come from me. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Okay? The next one is, and repent. Okay? So it says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Say, Brother Chad, where do you get another R? Redo. So remember, repent, and redo. You know, sometimes as in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where they were saying, mine hand hath gotten me this wealth, and the power of my, you know, sometimes as at least as me, I start looking around and think, man, I did all right. I did a pretty good job on that. But then I forget that God gave me breath to get up that morning. God gave me the legs to work. God gave me the hands to work. You know, God gave me the knowledge sometimes to do a certain thing. God gave that to me. So, you know, sometimes we forget. So you say, Brother Chad, how can we redo? Because I want to focus on the redo part. Folks, we're basically repeating what they did in the book of Acts. I mean, you know, we're, 2,000 years later, but we're just still doing the same thing that they did in the book of Acts. We're going out, we're knocking doors, we're inviting folks in church, we're seeing people saved, we're baptizing them, all right? The church is growing. So we're basically, it's different times, but we're doing what the Bible says to do. Okay, so we're redoing. So how can we redo these things and don't grow stagnant in this? We got to remember the result, repent for neglect, and redo the action. Remember the result, repent for neglect, and redo the action. First thing I want us to remember our salvation. Remember our salvation. You say, Brother Chad, how can I redo the zeal that we used to have, or the zeal that the church had for winning souls? Remember what God did for you. You know, I don't remember much from my childhood, honestly, but I do remember getting saved. I do remember that different change in my heart that happened when I got saved. So I want that for somebody else. So I remember that. I repent because, man, I'm just not a good witness sometimes. I'll be honest with you. I'm just not a good witness. I don't like talking to people. I don't like people. And I got to get that right sometimes, because God didn't say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature as long as you like them. He said, it's a command. He told me to do it. And so I got to repent of, I got to remember what God done for me. I got to repent for not doing it. And then I need to redo that. Okay? So remember our salvation. Remember prayers answered. Remember prayers answered. I'm just going to pick it. I mean, we could go and go and go on things that we should remember that God's done for us. Okay, but I want to remember prayers answered. Remember, I just said something about that piece of property out there. Remember how much prayer went into the other building? Remember, some of you, I don't remember necessarily because I was pretty young. Remember how much prayer went into this building? How much time, how much labor? Remember? Well, have we neglected that much, that amount of prayer that went into this building? Have we neglected that prayer, that amount of prayer? The amount of prayer and the amount of sacrifice that went into other buildings, or buying a piece of property, or improving things, or buying a new bus, or painting a new bus, have we neglected to do that? Because I don't see where the Bible says once you get it, you can stop. You know, I think God just keeps wanting to give us stuff as long as we keep asking for it. So repent for neglect. Repent for the neglect, and then redo the action. So remember our salvation. Repent for neglecting our salvation. Redo the action. Remember prayers answered. Remember what God's done for us. Repent for neglecting to pray. I'm bad about this. Sometimes the only time I really pray is when I really got a need, when I really, really need something. And, you know, I think God sometimes just, well, Chad's not praying like he should again. I guess I'm just going to have to keep stuff from him until he starts praying again. I don't know. But it sure does work. I know that. It drives me back to my knees. And then redo the action. So remember the result. Repent for neglect and redo the action. Now, I don't know about you, and I'm going to talk about one more thing here. And then I'm going to show you an illustration. I don't know about you, but I can remember visual illustrations better than anything else. I could almost tell you to a message, every message that Pastor Jerry's ever preached here, where he used something visual. But I cannot guarantee you I could tell you what he preached two Sunday nights ago. That's just me. But I could tell you, you know, I remember Brother Val Lovelace being up here with traps. I remember Tabitha being up here and him taking loads of laundry and piling them on top of her. He talked about silly women laden about with sins. I mean, I could tell you almost everything. I remember his boards that he used. I remember Pastor Ross talking about tithing, and he had all of us boys line up here, and he had a stick, and every 10th boy that went through, he hit with a stick. I remember, you would remember if you got hit with a stick by him. But I remember those things. So, the children's church kids, they seem like they remember things well with the visual. So I want to use a visual tonight. But the last thing I want to talk about, we remember ourselves, and I'm going to use this visual for all of these, okay? But remember why we have the standards and why we have the rules. Remember why we have the standards and why we have the rules. You say, Brother Chad, why? Okay, why do we have those? Because you say, Brother Chad, why do you want to sit under Pastor Jerry Ross as a preacher? Because I like the way he preaches. I like the preaching hard. And then, you know, sometimes what happens is, well, man, you stepped on my toes. Well, remember why you came. Repent for neglecting, receiving that, and then redo. Remember, repent, redo. Okay? I love the hard preaching when I went to Bible college. And I'm not saying, you know, that I didn't get some good preaching, but it's nothing like home. If you've never been anywhere else, there's nothing like home. And then you remember, and I repent, man, God, speak to my heart again. Even if it hurts, speak to my heart again. And then redo. I got to go back and redo some things sometimes. But remember why we have the rules and standards, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and get my illustration out. Lucas, can you help me tonight? I got a whole conglomeration up here. I'm going to use this harness tonight as an illustration. Go ahead and put that on. All right. I just recently did a roof job. I picked up some side work and I did a roof job. And I actually had to buy. I bid the job for the guy. And I put my ladder up against the house and I started to walk up the roof. And I thought, what in the world did I get myself into? And honestly, I've never worked on a real steep roof, but this was a 12-12 pitch, which is 45 degree angle. Okay, for instance, the building out here, the new school building, is a 6.5 pitch. Okay, and six is pretty easy to walk on, not too bad. Eight, once you get up into the 8 pitch area, I wouldn't want to be on a 3-story on 8 necessarily, you know, because I mean, I can hold pretty well as long as I got tennis shoes, but it gets a little precarious. But 12, you might as well forget. So I got up there, and so I was like, okay, I got to do something. So I went to good old Menards, and I was looking around, and I found a harness, and it was actually for roofing. It was a harness set, had a rope, and it had a rope and everything with it, and it was a pretty good price, I thought. So I got a 50-foot rope, and it had isn't actually the harness that came with it, but it had a 50-foot rope, and it had a roof anchor, and then it had a rope grab. This rope grab will slide up, but it won't slide down, okay? Brother Bobby back there, he's OSHA man, and he'll completely understand what I'm going to be talking about tonight. Harnesses are nice, but they're also very annoying. And this is the first time, honestly, I've ever really worked with a harness. But I want to talk about this tonight, and I guess, to me, this is... I use things in my life that help me understand things better. So I want to illustrate this to you tonight. Say, Brother Chad, how do I redo something? How do I redo something? I was working on the roof, and I had this anchored up on top, and it has a place for, I think, 20 or 30 16-penny nails to go in that roof bracket up on top of the peak. So I put 10, 7, 8. I didn't put 20. I got tired after about 7 or 8. And I only weigh 145 pounds. I thought, if I'm pulling that out, you know, I guess God's got a better plan for me. So, I mean, this thing's rated at 300 pounds or something. I thought, well, you know, if it takes 20 nails to hold a 300-pounder, it ought to take 10 to hold me. So, you know, I'm just glad the old OSHA guy didn't show up. But So, you know, I got it all secured up there, and I, you know, I'm working. I didn't have any ladder jacks, so I couldn't work off the ground up on the level. So when I'm working, when I was working down on the eaves, I would basically just put my whole weight in my harness, and I would lean out over the edge of the roof. And I had a guy working with me, and he said, "You're trusting that rope an awful lot, aren't you?" And it got me to thinking, yeah, I'm trusting everything to that rope. If that rope gives way, I'm done. Now, it's only, you know, I'm only going to fall, you know, 20 feet or something, so I may not necessarily die, but I could die too. But I am. I'm trusting everything I got, because I'm not kidding. It's not like I'm standing right here. I mean, I'm leaning at a 45-degree angle out over this edge, you know, nailing stuff on, ripping stuff off. And, you know, the guy asked me, he's like, "You're trusting that an awful lot." I said, "I am." Why do I trust it an awful lot? Because I know what I did to put that on there. Now, I made some fun about putting it, but I mean, I honestly, I really wasn't worried about 10, 16 penny nails in it. I mean, it was solid. Before I leaned way out over the edge, you know what I did? I got onto a flat spot, and I threw that rope over the edge, and I climbed up that rope up to the edge of the roof. I jumped. Oops. I jumped on as much as my weight can jump on something, and it didn't budge. So I knew it was going to hold me, okay? And I believe that's something that we gotta remember. And then I want to talk about this tonight, and I hope I keep my train of thought, and Lucas is going to help me tonight. You got it on all right? Do you trust it? All right, good. All right. You guys laugh. You think I was going to do something to him, don't you? I did think about anchoring it somewhere, and I thought, well, there might be people that get mad if I anchor the harness somewhere, so better not do that. I guess one nice thing about being the maintenance guy, if I tear something up, I can fix it. So, but remember, repent, and redo. So, Brother Chad, how did you have confidence in your rope? Because anytime I had a doubt, now listen to me, anytime I had a doubt, you know all I had to do? All I had to do was go back up there, check my contact points, make sure none of the nails had pulled out, pull on that rope a little bit. What was I doing? I was remembering. I was refreshing it. I was checking everything. You know, if I was putting a harness on and, you know, I got two of these straps cut halfway through, it wouldn't be real safe. So what do? I need to check it out. Go back and check it out. You say, "Bro Chad, I don't know if God's going to give us the money for that." Go back and check out what he'd done before. Go back and check it out again. "I don't, Bro Chad, I don't know how we're gonna do this or how we're gonna do that." Go back and check it out again. You know, if I was ever worried, and I never really was, I don't even know if I ever looked at this rope again after I hooked it up there. I wasn't worried about it. Because I knew what happened. I knew that it held my weight once, and if it can hold my weight once, it can hold my weight again. And I believe that God, you know, faith without works is dead. You know, faith is not me hooking this harness on to Lucas here. I'm going to use Lucas as me. I just didn't want to put the harness on and try to maneuver tonight, because this is really a pain in the neck to get on and off the back here. All right? Faith is not me hooking this harness up. All right, we're going to say this up here is the ridge over here on this chair, on this bench. All right, so I'm hooking this harness up here on this ridge. Faith is not me. Go ahead and sit down there, Lucas. Faith is not, this is not faith. Faith is not me sitting up there on the ridge and saying, "This rope will hold me. I know it will." That's not faith. Faith, get out there, Lucas. You know what faith is? Hang on a second. Let me make sure this rope's going the right way. All right, you know what faith is? Faith is me getting out there on that edge. It's testing it. Faith is not sitting around saying, "Oh, God can do it. God, we believe that you can bring the money in." Faith is not sitting up. Faith in that rope is not me sitting up on that ridge of that roof, just sitting there. "Boy, guys, this rope, it will hold me. I believe it." That's not faith. Faith is me leaning over the edge getting ready to break my neck if that rope falls. But I'm not. I know it's not going to. Why? Because I have faith that's going to hold me. I'm remembering. You know when that guy asked me, you know if that rope's going to hold you? You think that rope will hold you? You're trusting that rope an awful lot. I remember taking those 16-penny nails, driving them into native timber rafters. If you never mess with native timber, they're oak, true oak two-bys, Brother Don. I don't think a 150-pound guy is going to pull 10 of them out of an oak 2x10. Not going to happen. I'm trusting. My faith is not me sitting up there, you know, with a good feeling in my heart that I'm anchored on. Faith is me testing it. Faith is putting it into action. Pastor talked about that, I think he just the other night. So remember your salvation. You ever think, boy, man, sometimes I have doubts about it. Go back and check it. Do you know it took me just a matter of seconds to run back up that ridge and check that anchor again if I had a doubt about it? Matter of seconds. Man, I don't know if God can answer my prayers. You know, every time I don't think God can answer my prayers, I'm always reminded of something that God answered my prayers about. It may be something little. I took a prayer class in college once, and he told us, you know, you ought to pray for the little things of life. It's not just being able to go out and, you know, if you got the money to buy ink pens, it's not necessarily being able to just say, well, I got the money, I might as well just buy them. Do you ever think about just praying for them? God, I broke my ink pen. The bus kid stole my ink pen. I need some new ink pens. Most of us, we just, a couple dollars, no big deal. And I learned a lot like through that. You know, God doesn't just want to give us the big things of life. God also wants to give us the things that we need every day. And, you know, how can I know that God's going to meet my, maybe the next big bill, unexpected bill that comes up? Because I know that God answered some small prayers back then. How could I know that if something happened and I really did fall off that roof, how could I know for sure that that harness would hold me? Because of the little ways I tested it before. You know, I never took a flying leap. Let's see if this works. Jump off the roof. I didn't do that. But there were times when I put every 145 pounds I've got on me, plus 20 pounds of tool bag, I think, put everything I had on that rope, and it held me. It held me. Now, I want to talk about, young people, I really want you to listen to me tonight, and parents, you'll agree with me. Well, I want to talk about the rules, too. Why the rules, and it's kind of a mixed message, I guess, maybe more than anything, and I don't know, maybe I should just concentrate on one thing, but this was on my heart, I guess, or even earlier today, before he even asked me to preach it. Most of the time, if he would have asked me to preach something last minute like that, I would have just, you know, I got stuff on file I can do, but this was on my heart, so I thought God wanted me to do this. But say, Brother Chad, why do we have the harness? Brother Bobby, why does the union mandate harnesses? It's not because accidents have never happened. Why is there a harness? Because there's things that have happened before. There are things that have happened. And young people, sometimes what we don't understand, and like I said, this is the first time I'd ever worked with a harness. The only other time I've worn a harness, I wore a harness once or twice when we were working on the grain legs, but in all actuality, if something probably would have went wrong, I really didn't have the knowledge that it was probably tied off right, so I'm just really glad nothing went wrong. But the only other time I've ever worn a harness is I set some of my tree stands. Nathan sets his high, too. I set some of my most of my tree stands are between 25 and 30 feet in the air when I set my tree stand. Well, it's only when I first started buying tree stands, I would get the big ones, you know, the $50, $60, $70 ones. You know, they got this platform that's, you know, size of the pulpit. And so you're sitting up there. Man, it feels like a recliner. It's real nice until you have to put it up in the tree. And then you're, instead of, you know, pulling a 20-pound tree stand up a tree, it's 60 pounds. And you're trying to pull this tree stand up a tree, get it strapped on a tree. And then besides that, they cost three times as much as the small ones. So I just started buying these little dinker ones where, you know, basically it's the size of this, you know, 2x2 or something like that. Well, I have a really bad habit, and I guess it's not a bad habit, but, you know, first thing in the morning, I'll get out there a half hour, hour before sunrise, so it's dark out there. Well, you know, I'll kind of get cozy down in my Carhartts, and I'll go to sleep for, you know, 20, 30 minutes. I can't see anything anyway, so no use me staying awake. And then a lot of times at noon, you know, I'll get in there at 2 o'clock or something in the afternoon. Well, the sun's real nice and warm, and, man, the deer ain't going to move till 6, you know. I'm just going to pray a while. And so you close your eyes, and then before long, you know, it's 5 o'clock, time to wake up and watch the deer move around. So, and that's the reason I wear a harness. I'm fairly sure-footed, so I, you know. But you know what? I've never worked with a harness. So to me, when I first put that harness on, it was the biggest pain in the neck. I mean, absolutely. Honestly, I've never worked. Every roof I've ever worked on, we worked on some big ones down in Kentucky, and we never wore a harness. Ever. I mean, if a guy was leaning out over the edge, the closest thing to a harness we got is one guy would take his belt off and wrap it in another guy's belt, and he would hold it. That's the closest thing to a safety harness I ever came to, all right? They never let me hold it for some reason because they always weighed more than I did. I don't know what the deal was with that. I was always the guy out the over the edge. But so for me, young people, listen to me. The harness is very restrictive. I can't do near as much. Brother Bobby can tell you, a guy can't do near as much work with a harness on as he can without a harness. And sometimes you think, young people, man, this is stupid. Why in the world do I got this stupid harness on? Why in the world can I only go 20 feet before it starts pulling back on me? Why can't I go all the way over to the other end? You know why? Because of accidents that have already happened. Because I know I tried to climb that roof to measure it, and the only way I could climb it was through the hips or the valleys because your pitch is less on those. It's the only way I could climb it. I knew if I stepped on that roof, I'd slide right down. Young people, don't get mad at the rules. Don't get mad at the rules. They're not there. That harness is not there to keep you from having fun. That harness is there because the people that have designed this harness, the people that have put that anchor up there on top, they know that there has been accidents that have happened. And they're offering you a harness to keep an accident from happening. They're not out there to hurt you. You know, there were several times I was thankful. I had a guy working for me, and this roof ended up being a big job. It had 3 layers of asphalt shingles. Then it had wood shakes underneath it, so I had to tear everything off. We had to redeck the whole thing, and then I had to re-roof it. I had a guy helping me, and we was tearing shingles off, and I was down on the bottom picking up stuff, and I noticed he was slipping around some. And I said, hey, why don't you go put that harness on? I'm not using it right now. You can wear the harness while I'm working on some stuff down here. And then once we got the shingles off, they had the laths across it, so you could actually, it's almost like stairs on the roof, and you could walk them up pretty good. And so he put the harness on, and you know what? Several times, it wasn't his fault. He was doing what he was supposed to. He'd step on a loose shingle or something. It's a 45-degree angle, folks. You step on a loose shingle and your foot's out from under you before you can think. And you know what? Most of the time he could kind of catch himself, but I'd watch that rope and you'd see it draw real tight. Do you know what that said to me? I bet he's glad that he had that rope on. Now, would the fall kill him? I doubt it. Probably break a leg or a couple legs, paralyze him, probably not kill him. Sorry. But you know what? I think he was pretty thankful for that rope. He's pretty thankful for the rope. Young people, don't get mad. Don't get mad at the rope. Don't get mad at the rope. And parents, you know, you want that result. You know, and I want the result. I see families in the church, and I thank the other families, and I see families that have brought their kids up right and have done a good job. I want that result, but sometimes what we do is we don't want to pay the price for that result. And we got to be careful about that. One time we was putting the OSB on. We was putting OSB on. We had the sheets up there. And I was down on the bottom. I was working off a trailer. And he was up on the top again. And he stepped on a piece of OSB. And he actually slid off the roof. You know what? I think he was probably pretty thankful for that rope right about then. I know I was. I'd have to pay for it if he got hurt. I think he was pretty thankful for the rope. Is it aggravating? Unbelievably aggravating. But you know what, Brother Bobby? Brother Bobby can tell you this. You work with it for 3 or 4 months. Is it still in the way? Is it still aggravating? Yeah. But you kind of get used to it, don't you? You know, the first couple days, I would take that thing off all the time. Like, oh my goodness, you got to be kidding me. You know, right when I'm getting ready to reach for a pry bar, I'm like 6 inches too short. I'm like absolutely aggravating. But when I had to go out on the edge of that roof, I was sure glad that rope was there. Say, Brother Chad, how can we remember the rules? Remember why the rules are there, okay? Remember, you know, this can go back to salvation. Remember your salvation, all right? Repent, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, I didn't ever have to tell him this. But, you know, I had to kick myself. Chad, you need your harness on. I'll be all right. I'm just going over here. What if a board broke? Something that's completely out of my control. I'm fairly sure-footed. I'm athletically, I can handle myself. But there's some things that are completely, young people, there's some things that are out of your control. You're out of your control. And the reason the rope is there is so when something happens that is out of your control, it catches you. The reason those rules are there is not to limit you, it's to catch you. I want to put it this way. Parents, young people, parents, as a parent, I put the harness on my child. You know, Emily, if she wanted to help Daddy, for one, I'm not going to put her on a 12-12 pitch roof. We won't say other things I've done with her, but we won't put her on a 12-12 pitch roof. But if I did, or let's say, for instance, she wanted to go deer hunting with Daddy. Do you know what I'm going to put on her? I'm going to put that harness on her. She doesn't understand. Young people, you don't understand. But I know that all it takes is one slip up and she's gone. Her body can't take a 20-foot impact like my body could. So young people, your parents put the harness on you. But at some point, young people, you have to determine to keep the harness on. I went upstairs real quick. I got 6 yearbooks out of the 35 years of our Christian school. 6 yearbooks, we could go through these. People in this room, you would point at people and you could tell me the young people in these yearbooks that kept the harness on and that decided to take the harness off. That kept the harness on and took the harness off. At some point, young people, your parents, they can encourage you, man, Lucas, you need to keep that harness on, okay? Just keep it on. He does it. Does a good job. Turns 18. Why do young people take the harness off? It limits me. Oh, man, I can't stand these rules. I just want to be out of them. This harness limits me, so I'm going to take it off. Why do young people take the harness off? Or why do we all take it? Sometimes adults do. Man, you start coming to this church because of what this church stands for and the beliefs this church has. And then before long, you're like, well, that was stupid. Preacher, why are you can't limit me like that. Well, hey, you're the one that put the harness on. You're the one that put the harness on. You can't limit me like that. You're infringing upon my freedoms. You're the one that put the harness on. Why did you put the harness? Why did I go to Menards and spend an extra $100 to buy a harness? Because I saw the necessity for it. You saw the necessity to come here and put your family in Blessed Hope Baptist Church, so why don't you just leave the harness on? What changed from, you know, then to now. Nothing's changed. The dangers are still there. So leave the harness on. Do you get aggravated sometimes? I got aggravated with the rope sometimes. But leave the harness on. And if you have questions about it, remember why you put the harness on. Remember why you put the harness on. Repent for not keeping the harness on. Go back and put your harness back on. Put your harness back on. But young people, you have to make the choice. I handed that harness. I saw the guy slip and I said, hey, why don't you go grab that harness? I'm not using it at the moment. He could have been like, I'm all right. Do you know what that is? P-R-I-D-E. Pride. I'm okay. I'm all right. He didn't, you know, if we were actually out here and this was a drop-off, I can't force him down and buckle this harness on Lucas and say, you're going to wear it. He has to willingly put the harness on. Young people, you can buck the rules. You know what you can do? Lucas, you need to put the harness on. So you know what he does? Watch me, young people. It's coming, I promise. Watch me, young people. Fine. Harness is on. I'll just do what they asked me to. Harness is on. How many of you would want this harness if your life depended on it? Fasten the way it is right now. No, put it on all the way. Submit yourself to the harness. The harness ain't there. It's not there to hurt you. You know what would happen right now? If he fell, see where this rope's hooked? This would come off. He would be hanging upside down by his legs.
Yes, sir.
He would, wouldn't he, Brother Bobby? He would be hanging upside down by his legs. He would probably be hurt worse like this than he would any other way. Do you know there's some safety harnesses they've sold in tree stands that they recalled because guys would fall out of the trees with them, and because they weren't designed right or they didn't have them fastened right, it hung them, strangled them. So young people, don't go halfway. If you've got a rule, if we've got a rule around here, it's not for you to say, well, I'll hide this under here. That way nobody will see it. There, I'm abiding by the rules. I got the harness on. Until you fall. And then what? Then what? Young people, I'm telling you, Pastor is not here to hurt you. Pastor Ross is not here to hurt you. They saw the necessity of the harness. They saw the necessity of the rope. So they went back and they anchored some rules in. They anchored some standards in. And they set him up and said, just like I did to him, said, hey, Lucas, why don't you put this on right now? Or like I said to that guy helping me, hey, why don't you put this on? He could have put it on halfway. He could have not buckled his leg belts. And that's what so many young people are doing. I'm doing what they asked me to. No, you're not. You're not doing what they asked you to do. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to stink and slip up, and you're going to fall, and you're going to get hurt, and it's not our fault. It's not our fault. I could almost guarantee you 70-80, maybe more percent of the people in this yearbooks either completely took the harness off or didn't put it on all the way. And you know what happened? Wrecked their lives. It wrecked their lives. I don't know how else to explain it to you. At some point, young people, you have to determine to put that harness on. You know, every young person that has grown up and that does what's right, they make a determination without their parents, without their pastor, in their own heart between them and God. I think I'll keep this thing on. I think I'll keep it on. Will you slip up? I've slipped up. I've slipped up several times in my life. Done things I shouldn't have done. Looked at things I shouldn't have looked at. Listened to things I shouldn't have listened to. Been in company I shouldn't have been in. Nothing saying that, you know, if Lucas is helping me on some roof, that he's not going to step on a shingle and slip. There's no guarantee that he's not going to slip. But you know what that harness does? It keeps him from hurting himself. It keeps him from destroying his life. But young people, I want you to listen to me. Keep the harness on. Keep the harness on. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is talking and he said, remember all the commandments that I gave you? What are commandments? Rules? Laws? Standards? He said, neglect these. Leave them. And what will happen? You'll become as the heathen nations and I will destroy you. Matthew, go one more place with me tonight. Matthew chapter number 7, and we'll finish up with this. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13. It says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Do you notice the spelling on this straight? This is not talking like straight as an arrow. This is talking like straight jacket. There's two different types of straight, and this is not talking about the straight as in a straight line. This is talking about straight as in tight, a straight jacket. Like Houdini jacket. Okay? What is straight here? It's confining. It's constricting. But you know what the Bible says? Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way. But Brother Chad, I want my freedom. I want to do what I want to do. For broad is the grit. That's your freedom. But look where your freedom leads you. Leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Many there be. Many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that are willing to put this on. Few there be that are willing to not just put it on, but put it on the way it's supposed to be put on. All the way. All the way. And parents, folks, listen, you know, I'm not pastor, but do you know one reason that he might take that off? If every other guy on the roof said, you don't need that. You don't need that. And then when the boss is around, make sure you keep your harness on. Then when you're by yourself, when you're with your kids, I don't know why they got those rules. You gotta live by them, but I don't know why they got them. Do you know what goes on in the guy's mind? Yeah, that's right. Why do I gotta wear this? Yeah, I'll cheat a little bit. This is too tight around my chest anyway. Something to think about. Something to think about. You know, if anything, I'd want to be able to tell all my guys, hey, keep your harness on. You guys need to keep your harness on. Oh, it's getting hot. Do you know what? I was stinking working on a roof when it was 98 degrees outside. Do you think, I don't know what this weighs. What does your harness weigh, Brother Bob? Do you know? 25 pounds. This is a Miller harness. I don't know. I'm guessing relatively. Yours probably weighs, you probably got lanyards and stuff on yours. I don't want to wear 25 pounds of canvas that's strapped to my body. I don't. But straight is the way that leads to life. But few there be that find it. Is there a few in here? Is there a few? Or are there the many? And what are we as adults doing to encourage the young people to keep these harnesses on? Can we encourage them more to keep it on? And if you ever have doubt about it, remember why we put the harness on to start with. Then get right with God for telling people to take their harness off, and then put your harness back on and stay within the bounds. Stay with the bounds. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you just help us today. Lord, I don't know how else to illustrate this, Lord, but I pray that you would just help. If nothing else, help this illustration be on some young person's mind or some parent's mind the next time they think about taking the harness off or bucking the rules, Lord. I just pray that you would help me to abide by the rules, help me to keep my family within the rules. Lord, I've not seen all the consequences. I have not seen all of the mistakes that people have made, but I trust a preacher that has, and I trust that your word and that you know who has made mistakes and what has been done to destroy people's lives. So help us just keep within the ropes, even though they may restrict us. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.